You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
They have a lot of weapons here. I think it starts with Young, you know, what he can do off the dribble. And then their shooting. I mean, you look at, Bogdanovich, the way he's played down the stretch, a Herder, Gallinari, Lou Williams, Hunter is a guy that is a really good player that, you know, played in the last three games. And then their bigs are very athletic, and Capella's rim protector, puts pressure on the rim, can hurt you with the offensive rebound. And Collins is just a great athlete who's gotten better each year. So the depth of the club that they have off the dribble, they have the shooting, and they have the offensive rebounding.
Tom Thibodeau talking about the Atlanta Hawks and giving them much credit, much respect. Without further ado, Mark Berman joins us here. You can see all his work on the New York Post and joins us quite frequently here on 98.7 ESPN. Always great to hear your voice. Mark, thank you so much for joining us on this Saturday afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, doing great, Anita. Thanks for inviting me on again. I'm getting very excited about this matchup.
Oh, tell me about it. It's a very exciting time. I opened up the show. I said, how blessed are we? It's not even just the Knicks. Obviously, we're one of the very few cities in the country, let alone the world, that has not one but two NBA franchises that have made it to the postseason, and one is expected to win the whole damn thing. But nonetheless, the Knicks, you've got an article out in the Post right now, and you are favoring the Hawks to win this series. So let's start right there. Why is that, Mark?
Well, a lot of what Tom Thibodeau said on that clip is pretty true. I mean, they have more talent than the Knicks on paper. There's no doubt. And you look at the season series, the Knicks beating them 3-0, but as I just posted another story on Kevin Herter, who's from the Albany area, and he says, I think you could discount those three games. We could have won all those games. But more to the point, the first two games, McMillan was not the coach, and they were sort of injury-riddled. And the third game, Trae Young goes down late third quarter, Hawks up 9, Knicks come back, force overtime and win. I think Atlanta would have won that game with Trae. But I just think there are more bodies on Atlanta that I believe in more. They don't have a ton of playoff experience, but Trae Young, I feel, is a fearless player in his playoff debut. I think he's going to be very good. I think they have very good three-point shooting. I just worry that the Knicks don't have enough firepower. Their defense is going to be great. I just don't know if R.J. Barrett for seven games is going to, be the second option, the trusty second option in his very first playoff at age 20. Reggie Bullock is a big wild card. He's got to be great from three-point range. He's had some bad nights. He's had a really good season, though. Defensively, they're great. I just think sometimes offensive firepower, especially in the new age NBA with the three-point shot, might trump out.
There's so many things about this Knicks team that you got to love, right? Like, their grit, their swagger, their physicality, the way that they play defense, holding opponents to 44% shooting, let alone 34% from downtown. I know the Hawks have been better, Mark, since Trae Young came back from injury. They're 10-15 their last 10 games, last 15 games, but the Knicks are 10-14 their last 14 as well. We hear that oh so familiar phrase, right? Defense wins championships. Are we putting that on the shelf here? Because, obviously the Knicks are coming in with the better defense in the series.
I think that's an older phrase. I think three-point shooting now also wins championships because there's so many shot attempts. Teams are really focusing their offense on the three-point shot. But the Knicks will be in every game because of their defense, and that's why it's going to be a terrific series. And listen, Julius Randle, I trust. I think he's going to be terrific. I just wonder if there's enough around him. Derrick Rose started, there was a couple of, he sprained his ankle in Los Angeles in the last game of that trip, and he wasn't the same when he came back, especially defensively. In the regular season, and I've written this, the regular season was so amazing, but maybe it's a little inflated because Thibodeau treats every game as the Super Bowl. Now every team treats every game as the Super Bowl here in the playoffs. It's going to go down to the final couple of minutes, and a couple of scouts, you know, that I talked to also said, you know, if the Knicks are down one with 15 seconds left, who's going to make the big shot? Randle hasn't hit a lot of game winners. He's been sensational, but they're also going to get the ball out of his hands. Speaking to some people in Atlanta, they definitely are focused on stopping Randle. He averaged 37 points against them in three games. I think they're going to really take the ball out of his hands and make the other Knicks players beat them.
Again, Mark Berman joining us here on 98.7 ESPN from the New York Post. I came across an interesting tweet the other day from John Schumann and in regard to the three-point shooting, because you mentioned the three-point shooting that you feel is going to win this. The three-point shooting percentage from last year to this year with Knicks players, Julius Randle went from 28% to 41% this year. Barrett went from 32% to 40% this year. Rose went from 31% to 39%, and Bullock went from 33% to 41%. And to go even further, he said that's the 2nd, 10th, 11th, and 13th biggest jumps among 202 players with 100-plus three-pointers in each of the last two seasons. What do you feel, and we saw this change, let's be honest, Mark, we saw this change after the All-Star break. What happened there? You know, how did the Knicks get so much better, especially after the All-Star break, in regard to their shot selections?
Yeah, well, you hope it's not a fluke. You know, they did finish the season third in the league in three-point percentage. And, you know, Thibodeau gets all this credit for being a great defensive coach and having them so well prepared on the defensive end. But you've got to also say that he has coached them up on the offensive end, too, in terms of three-point shooting. I mean, he has them working so hard on that shot in practices. And they're so, you know, he makes everyone so accountable. Everyone's working, coming in at night, you know, with the extra shots from the three-point range. They have new technology that I'm writing about for tomorrow's paper that, you know, has helped them, I believe, in Tarrytown with their shooting trajectory and their consistency. But you have to credit Thibodeau also for their three-point shooting and percentage, because they don't shoot a lot of them, maybe sixth least in the league or so. But they make them, and that's Thibodeau's philosophy. Maybe we talked about this. He doesn't want the team just jacking up threes. He wants the right ones, the open ones, the ones in rhythm. And when you're moving the ball like the Knicks have moved the ball this season, they have been in rhythm, and that's what he's so proud of. Again, you know, the Golden State Warriors will throw up, you know, a ton, and the Hawks will throw up a ton. But the Knicks are efficient with their three-point shooting, and that's what's the best part. That's why they're 41 and 31, along with their defensive grittiness.
All right. In looking at this first game, the Knicks are favored by 1.5 in some places. The over-under is at 215. I like the Knicks, especially at home. Here's another thing, Mark. You know, now that we're in the postseason, the NBA is saying 50% capacity. So we're expecting, from what I read, what, the Garden to have 13,000 fans at least there tomorrow night. I think this is pretty significant, considering that these guys really haven't, all season long, haven't had to shoot in arenas where you've got that type of crowd capacity. And let alone at the Garden, where you've got fans that have just been craving for this for over a decade. Like, I think home court advantage is going to be pretty important in part of my analytic analysis in game one. So I like the Knicks winning the first game. Do you?
I'm not sure. I'll be honest. Yeah, in Vegas, they're favored for game one, but the Hawks are slight favorites to win the series. It's going up to 15,000. It keeps going up. 13,000 was a few days ago. Dolan is just, you know, beside himself, and he's raised. They sold out 13,000 tickets, so they added a couple more thousand to 15,000. And now this morning, the Hawks, in response for their home games, went from 7,500 to more than 15,000. I haven't heard the exact details, but I think it's not going to be full capacity of Atlanta. In fact, they may not even be able to sell out. That's not a good basketball town. But they're going to go to 16,000, I believe, is their cap. And this is a difference. When I was in Phoenix with the team on the West Coast trip, that was a real home court advantage for Phoenix. That was the NBA high at the time of 8,063. Fourth quarter, the place was a madhouse, and the Knicks crumbled. So it's an adjustment. Like, you could say on the surface, yeah, it's great home court advantage for the Knicks, but it's also different. This has been an empty garden for the whole season, either empty or 1900, and they've done fantastically well. The prior seven seasons, they haven't actually done very well when the garden has been packed. I think it's going to help them. I hope they're not too much nervous energy. The place is going to be bonkers. First playoff game in 8 years, it's going to be like deafening. Like, we talk about how loud it's been with 2000, but when I was in Phoenix, I was like, okay, well, this is loud. Like, you forget what really, like,
right.
Your ears are ringing.
Right.
After the final buzzer, in Phoenix, my ears are ringing. And that is, it's for 2,000 fans, they've made so much noise. And they're chanting MVP and they're chanting defense. And it's been a great atmosphere for 2,000 fans. But tomorrow, 15,000, it's going to be a different atmosphere. And I hope the Knicks can really take advantage of the energy that the fans are going to provide.
It's going to be great. Okay, so before I let you go, interesting, just a few minutes ago, you said that you think the Hawks defense is really going to try to, you know, contain Julius Randle. His over-under in points is 26.5, so you like the under in that point total, I'm assuming.
Well, he's going to probably play 45 minutes, so, you know, if it's an efficient, he might get 28, but if it's inefficient, you know, the Hawks can win the game. They just got to make him inefficient. But if I'm going to bet on game one, 26.5, I probably have to go over because I think he's going to take a lot of shots. I'm hoping they're good shots and not forced. But again, Randle killed the Hawks, and Nate McMillan has had a whole week, and they're fully healthy, and DeAndre Hunter is going to be healthy, and I think he's going to play more. I don't think we're going to see a lot of Obi Toppin, to be honest. I think Randle, if he's not going to play 48, but he might play 44, 45. So in 45 minutes, I think I would go over.
Good. I've already gone over, so I'm happy that's the side you're on, Mark. Bullock has been making me a ton of money all season long. For whatever reason, the odds makers have his point total low each and every week. I don't understand it. More times than not, I'd say maybe 60% of the time he goes over his point total, and it's at 13.5. And I've got the over. You agree with me on that?
Yeah, if he gets over 13.5, the Knicks are going to win. Randle and Bullock have a terrific chemistry, and when Randle is double-teamed, he's always looking for Bullock at the three-point line. If Bullock is draining those shots, the Knicks are probably going to win game one. You know, he's had a couple of bad nights down the stretch, but he's had such a great season. You mentioned he was only 33% from three last season. This year, over 40%. Catch-and-shoot threes are a specialty. Usually when Bullock is over 13.5, the Knicks are winning. I would probably at home in game one, I think he's going to get a lot of open looks. I would go over on that too.
And last but not least, as I stated before, the Knicks, one of the best teams defensively in limiting three-point shooting. Opponents are only averaging 34%. I took the under in 3 points at 1.5 for Trae Young. The over-under is 1.5. So I'm saying that he's not going to hit more than 1-3 against the Knicks. What do you think about that one?
They're going to definitely try to deny him the three-point shot, but they also don't want him getting in the lane for his floaters. But that's a tough one. I think if he's under control and he's just playing what the defense gives him, he may not have many open looks, so it's not a bad bet. That's a really tough one. I would not bet that one because it's too tough for me, but I know they want to limit his three-point shooting and not foul him when he gets into the lane. But, you know, this is his first playoff game. He could be pretty wild. You know, he's been a better decision maker under McMillan, but it's going to be a crazy night. So it's not a bad bet, but I would probably lay off that one.
Mark, you're great. I always love I always love having you on. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on this Saturday afternoon. Enjoy the series.
All right. Thanks so much, Anita.
You got it. Mark Berman.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.